pussy sweeter than McCready when I meet her in the morning.
The morning.
With the morning glory.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joe Simpson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Triangle Yesteryear. On this program, you'll hear reminiscences of life in earlier times around North Carolina's Triangle area, and sometimes other parts of the state, written by local authors. On today's program, I'll continue reading excerpts from Snowbird Gravy and Dishpan Pie, Mountain People Recall, a collection of stories gathered by Patsy Moore Ginns. Chapter 3, Child Life. With age, one's thoughts naturally gravitate to childhood, making this topic one of ready and easy recall. Inevitably, a twinkle lights up the narrator's eyes, and a slow smile mellows a furrowed face as he begins to relate beloved stories of back when I was a child. Just as adult life around the turn of the century demanded self-reliance, so did the lives of children. Early risings, long hours of field work, and home chores left relatively little time for play. Indeed, playtime was a luxury, often saved for weekends when the work was done. Ingenuity was demanded from an early age, as children frequently made their own toys. Experience taught with a hard disciplinary hand, and schooling followed suit. As Stanley Hicks relates, the hide flew. Was it any wonder that many children were practical jokesters, and, consequently, were labeled mean? If entertainment was to be had, it, too, was self-made. However, honesty was a way of life, and respect for parents and elders was unquestioned. Since large families necessitated much cooperative effort, whatever Papa said was law. Making toys. We made our toys. We made our little trucks, made them out of wood, made our wagons that we played with. We'd take a crosscut saw, cut down a black gum tree, and we sawed our wheels out of it, made our wagons, and we didn't have grease like we have today to make them run fast. We'd take a fatback meat skin and put around the axle, and that'd make them really fly off in the hill. If ever we had any free time, it'd be on Sunday. Sometimes we'd take these wagons and go out and clean up the side of a mountain, grub it out and make racetracks similar to what they have today. Only we'd have them straight down the mountain. Get all skint up once in a while, but nobody got hurt seriously. And we had places on our raceway where we could pass, and if you were lucky, you got up enough speed to pass them. And if you didn't, you'd have a wreck. Might get hurt. Our mothers didn't worry about that. And we played a lot in the trees, like monkeys. We'd jump from one tree to another. Had grapevines to swing from. We'd just bail out of the top of a pine tree, and maybe go two-thirds of the way down, you see, then catch the limbs with our hands to get away a lot of times, playing fox and dog. I used to go a-fishing with my father on Sunday, and we didn't have fishing gear like they have today. We cut a poplar pole, got some string, and a lot of times didn't have a fish hook. We'd take a straight pin and bend it, or either a safety pin, and cut it off and make a fish hook. We went down what they'd call Ridge Mountain over here one Sunday, and it was a-raining a little bit. I stayed about 100 yards ahead of my father, always, because I knew when you got a mess of fish, it was all over. This one particular time, I was just having the best time I'd ever had in my life catching fish, and Daddy, he walked up on me and said, "How many you got?" I said, "I don't know. I got a pretty good bunch." He wanted to know where they were, and I told him. We didn't have a string. We just got a forked stick to put them on and stuck them back in the water. I told him, and he went over there and pulled him up. He said, "That's enough. That's a mess." And if he'd just grabbed a limb and whipped the blood out of me and let me go on fishing, I'd have felt real good, for I was having more fun fishing than I'd ever had in my life. But, you see, you didn't take more than you could use. If you went a rabbit hunting, you eat the rabbits. You didn't kill them and leave them laying. You dressed them, and they was cooked and put on the table. And it was the same way with these fish. You'd get a mess, and you didn't try to be a pig and take 'em all. You left some for the next guy, or another time, to go back and catch 'em. Ralph Krauss, born 1922, Allegheny County. A prankster. I used to nail my sister's boyfriend's snowshoes down to the floor, so when he went out to put them on, he couldn't get them. Ha! I used to be the kind that would do mean, sneaking things like that. And then we had a hall rack in the hall, and he'd hang that fuzzy cap on it, you know, that had flaps on it, and I'd take it and put flour in it, so when he pulled it down, the flour would go in his face. I was always into something. Children used to do things like that, more than they do now. We had to do things like that if we had any entertainment. Vasty Hensley, born 1904, Yancey County. My last whipping. We had a world of geese in those days, and they made them feather beds. Oh, we was always fixed to sleep warm. We never did sleep cold. Now, us boys always slept upstairs, and my mother nearly always built the fire every morning downstairs. She'd get up first, and she'd build the fire in the living room there, and then she'd go in the kitchen and build a fire. She cooked over a fire, didn't know nothing about a stove then. Well, she'd cook her breakfast on the fire there, and she'd get that breakfast ready, and she'd come through and holler, "Breakfast! Everybody up!" Well, she'd go back and put that breakfast on the table, and you'd better be there when she got done. She'd give you time, but now, boys, if you was a little lazy about it, you'd wish you hadn't been. Now, Father, he and Mother were married in 65, and he died in 84. He was just 40 years old, but he was an awful strict disciplinarian. Now, the older girls were about 18, 20 years old, and the two older boys were great big boys. And he had those children all trained down, and they never parted from it much. Mother carried that discipline on. Now, he had certain rules and regulations. Say, if I wanted to go somewhere, I'd say, "Pappy, can I go a certain place?" "No, son, you can't go." Well, if I went back and asked him a second time, I'd recollect it as long as I lived. Now, when he said anything, that was law and gospel. Well, the children learned that. Now, I can recollect the last whipping he gave me, and we sitting on the porch. My grandpappy and me was sitting there. The older children and our renter was up in the field hoeing corn, and they had a little girl about my size. They had to bring her out there and let her play under the shade of the apple tree. Well, I said, "Pappy, can't I go up yonder and play with Susie this evening?" And he said, "No, you can't go." Well, I recollect very well. I went around back of the house, and I cried a while. But I wiped my eyes all out. I knowed better, but I says, "I'm going to try him one more time." So I come around one more time. I says, "Pappy, can't I go up there and play with Susie?" "You can go right up there and get me a whip off of that beech tree." And I never asked him any more about going to play with Susie. That's the last whipping he ever give me, the last one I ever recollected of. I was about 4 years old. That was about a year before he died. Henley Crawford, born 1879, Clay County. Our education. When I growed up, Dad took us out there, and he said, "Now, boys, when you do anything, do it right." And if we didn't, my gosh, son, the hide flew. I mean, the hide come off. We'd hoe corn or anything, and if it wasn't done right, we went back over it. That was our education. It was good. We thought it was bad then. We'd make these old wooden bicycles to ride on. That's the only thing we had to ride on. Take black gum and cut black gum wheels off. Put the brakes on here, like on a wagon. Had a thing across down here to set on. Had an old gray seed sack, you know, to put on. We'd buy great long seed sacks and put the corn in. Had to take it from the field to the house. So we got it on, and we didn't know it was a dragon. Didn't care much, no way. And we'd come down off that mountain, and by the time we'd get to the house, the end of the sack would be drug out, and the corn would be gone. And Dad would beat the heck out of us. Then we'd have to cut wood to pay for the sack. Cut up slabs and sell them. See, we had to pay him 50. He had to pay 25 cents for the sack, and we had to pay him 50. Stanley Hicks, born 1911, Watauga County. Rolling kegs. Yeah, it took a whole lot of work to make one keg of syrup. We'd carry, as young'uns and carry it in, and it'd go to sloshing in these barrels. Kegs, you know. It'd get to sloshing, and it'd sometimes get us down. And we rolled some off the mountain one time. got too lazy to carry it, and the stopper knocked out. Run over a rock pile. Lost it, but my dad didn't know nothing of it. If he'd knowed it, he'd have took the hide off of us. He was plumb rough, but he had to be, I guess. Now, back then, the parents was good to the young'uns, but when they told him to do anything, they done it. Now the young'uns tell the parents what to do. Then, when my dad told us to do anything, we expected to do it. What did he use to whip us with? Anything he could get his hands on, just to be fair to you. That could be a belt, or anything he could get. A piece of leather. Most of the time it was his shaving strap. Or else he just cut him off a birch switch, or whatever was closest. We didn't think when he was doing it that it was right, but now we appreciate every bit of it. My mother wasn't too bad. She was pretty rough sometimes, though. There were several of us, you know, and back then we was always fighting and going on. You know how young'uns is. But when he told us to do anything, we done it. Stanley Hicks. An Unfair Deal. When I was a kid, they'd say, "Bigfoot a-settin' in your face every night, a-sleepin' at the foot of the bed," and "Take a cold tater and wait." Now that's a true song. I've been in that. Company would come here, the neighbors, and Mother and Dad would feed 'em the last, the best eatin' we had to show up, and we'd have to starve, keep us whopped away from the table. I'd went and got stovewood to cook it, and Mother, if I got around, count of being dirty, me with little old short knee breeches and that homemade blouse down over it, she was ashamed of us, you see, count of the way we was dressed. We'd get around the eatin' table, even after we'd got the stovewood to cook it with, and she'd come around and slap me till I'd see stars, and we'd have to wait. Then, when we would go back, what little they had fixed, the best, they'd eat it all up. And I'd always go to grumbling about it, 'cause I's the one who got the stovewood. They ought to put a little away for me. Kept it back. And she'd say she didn't think. So I'd say, "Think next time." It was an unfair deal. I'd worked. Now the other young'uns, it didn't hurt them, but I'd worked. Got the stovewood and packed it. You had to pack the wood on your back. Chop with an old dull axe. Didn't even have a file, grinding stone, or nothing to sharpen it with. Dad didn't. But the others did now. Had them crank grinding stones. After I got bigger, older, I'd go down to my grandfather's and help him grind his, crank it for him, and he'd help grind mine. Made it easier on me. Ray Hicks, born 1922, Watauga County. A newcomer. I never been in this county but 32 year. I lived in Macon County. I don't even know all the people here yet. I've just been here 32 year. I learned to spin when I was 8 year old. I had to climb in a chair to band the wheel. It'd throw the band once in a while, so I'd climb up in a chair and put that band back around that big wheel. I learned to milk now when I was 8 year old. Shear sheep when I was 11 year old. Tenny Clower, born 1886, Cherokee County. A Narrow Escape. I can remember my brother dropping my sister in the fire when I was just 4 years old. He stumped his toe on the hearth. Our mother and daddy were making homemade syrup. And so I was too little to be handling her, you know, and she went in the fire, and they was always making syrup. Well, it was a half mile back to the place. So I run every step of the way and told them that my sister was burning. I thought she was, and it was cold. But my brother now, he was 4 years older than me, and she was the one just younger than me. We were just children. Had a big fire. Well, it burnt her clothes off, but my brother got her out. And my mother, she come. Now she raised those great big beets, big as a half-gallon bucket. So she ran out and pulled one up, scraped it, and bound that to her hand. That took the fire out. Tenny Clower. Pea Time. Children used to make playhouses. Well, they just played anything to pass the time. They weren't restless like children today. Why, children now don't know what they want. Started to school in September, went 6 weeks, then pea time would come. Pea time, we had to stop and pick peas, and pull fodder off in the stalks for the cows. You'd stop for 2 or 3 weeks, then you'd go back the rest of them months. We went to school 4 months in all. Nanny Smith, born 1888, Clay County. School life. When I went to school, they had it 4 months. I went to a little old log school, log house. Well, it burnt up, and then they built another one. And when we went to school, we walked. We waded in snow knee-deep. If it rained, we come through it. We cut our own wood with cross-cut saws and had heating stoves in the room, and the pipe would go plumb through, you know. And we cut our own wood and carried it in there and built our own fire. If we didn't do it, the teacher showed us how to do it with a good, long, keen switch. But us young'uns was used to it at home, and it didn't bother us. The ground squirrels then would bury chestnuts. They call 'em chipmunks. We call 'em ground squirrels. And they'd bury around a half a bushel to a bushel in a hole. And when fall would come, we'd take a mattock and a shovel and go dig 'em out. And then we'd take all those chestnuts and sack 'em up and take 'em home and dry 'em and eat 'em, you see. Find 'em in the squirrels' beds. So I got me one and was digging up chestnuts on my way to school one day. And I come to the ground squirrel in his bed asleep. Well, I caught him and took him to the schoolhouse, tied him up in a handkerchief Mother had made me. You know, you could breathe right through it. So I put it in my desk, and it kept whipping around in there till it got out, you know. It come out and got in that schoolhouse, and here it went. Well, we was in the woman teacher's room then. We'd go in there, and she'd teach the smaller grades, and then the man would teach us the others. Well, we was in there that time, and it got loose. Ha! Just to tell you the truth, it was just terrible bad. You know, she had this big long dress on, and the ground squirrel went under it. Went in down there at the bottom, come out up here in the back of the neck. Us kids was a-getting a kick out of it. There was a knothole in the ceiling of the schoolhouse, and it went in the knothole. And it would come out, stick its head out, and we'd throw an eraser at it. Well, we got whipped awful bad off of it. We never did get our ground squirrel. It stayed in there. And them teachers, son, I'm telling you, when they told you anything, they just whipped the hide off of you if you didn't do like they said. Then they'd take you up to the blackboard and make you a mark, and you'd have to stand there with your nose up again it, you know, ever so long. I thought the teacher had been a little rough with me. Well, he whipped me over things he shouldn't. Young'uns would jump on me, and I couldn't help it, so I just had to beat the heck out of him. And then he'd whip me over that. But I didn't start it. So I would tell him, but that didn't do no good. I got a whipping just the same. So I got studying and studying on how to get even with him. Well, I decided to get a hornet's nest and put it up over the door, plug it, and when he went in at the door, he was pretty tall, he would knock it out with his head, and they would just sting the heck out of him. So I went, took my handkerchief, and it was pitch dark, put my handkerchief over the nose of the hornet's nest, and then I got the hornet's nest down and put me a plug in the end of it. Well, I went to the schoolhouse. I went to the door, but he'd locked the door, so I couldn't get in. So I went and raised the windows. Went in and put it right over the door, right about where his head would hit it. Big hornet's nest. And it was full. Put it right where he'd hit it at. Then I went back home. Mother and Dad didn't know nothing about it, see. It was on a little limb, and I just pushed that limb back in the crack. Next morning he lined us up. Every young'un now had to line up behind the teacher and follow him in. So I didn't crowd in, you know, to get next to the teacher. I'd been a-doing it, getting in there. But I stayed way back. Well, he unlocked the door, and when he went in, he just tore the thing up, and the house looked black. Gosh, he commenced fightin', and the young'uns a-fightin'. He didn't know what had happened, but he came out that door, saying, "God bless you, get out of here, quick," said, "the devil's in the house." So we didn't have no school that day. I mean, we got out of it. Every kid went home. Oh, he was so mad the next day. He went to the doctor, you know, old country doctor. Went and got some medicine and put on him and went back. And he looked about like a scarecrow, his eyes, you know. And he went in and he said, all you young'uns, come up here on the stage. We all got up there. There was about 33 of us all lined up in three groups. Got the biggest behind and on down the list. And the hornets had left. They'd got 'em out of there. And he said, now then, I want to know which one of you young'uns done it. Well, it had been a blamed fool to tell it. So he said, did you do it? To the bigger ones. No. Did you do it? No. On down the line. I was in the second row. He was taking out the bigger ones first, coming on down. Come to me, and he said, did you do that? I said, How would I have got them up there? I'd have been stung to death, worse than you are. I said, I don't fool with them things. I'm scared of them myself. Just big talk, you know. So he went on down the line. Never questioned me any more at all. Just went on down the line. He said, I know who done it. That Airy Maston done it, and I'm going after him. See, Airy Maston was about out of school, and the teacher had whipped him, and Airy had cussed him. Well, the teacher went up there to see his daddy, and got with Airy and his daddy, talked to them, and they run him off. They got the gun and run the teacher off. They told him to get out. Well, it went on and on. School was getting out, way up late in the fall of the year. Oh, yeah, he kept teaching school. So one day he said, I'd give $100 to find out who put that hornet's nest up there. Well, I said, if you'll give me $100, I'll find it out. Well, he said, you'll have to find out before. I said, no, I'll have to have $100 first. He said, why? Because when I find out and tell you, I said, they're going to kill me. And if I don't have it first, $100 won't do me no good. He said, I won't give you nothing. You don't know who done it. I said, no, if I knowed who done it, I'd tell you. And then one time we went to school, and we had a girl there. She was awful. You know how some tongue tattlers is. She'd run to school and tell everything these boys done. So me and my brother, my oldest brother, we's a going to school, and she run on ahead and told what we'd done. We hadn't done anything, you know. So when we went in, the teacher got us up on the stage, and I said, well, now, before you whip us, you go back up there and ask the folks if she told you what we done to them. I said, she ain't nothing but a damn lie. Well, they whipped me over saying, damn. So me and my brother, we said we'd get even with them. Then the teacher went back up there and asked about us. They told him, we ain't never see the boys do nothing. They've always been nice over here. See, she didn't like us because we was getting more up in the grades than she was. So I told my brother, I said, if she keeps that up, we'll get her. Well, she went down through there one day, and we heard her hollering. So we run down there to help her out and see what was the matter. Well, she was just a-putting on, you see. And then she made out to them that we was a-beating on her, so they could hear her hollering. And the teacher whipped us for it. So I says, just wait. Just wait till tomorrow evening, Friday evening, when we get out of school. I says, if she wants to cry, she'll be glad to cry. She was up about grown, so we was going along the next day, my brother and me, and we had to cross this old nailed-up fence. You know, some was laid up and some was nailed up. This fence had a nailed-up crossing piece. So I went ahead of her, went just as hard as I could go, and got ahead of her, so when she crossed over, I could just bend her over the fence, and he could just burn her up. So when I got there, I just grabbed her by the hair of the head and pulled her down over the fence, and I said, now, Floyd, give it to her. And gosh, he got a hold of her, and he blistered her hind end, and it popped. They heard it plumb to the house. He raised the whelps. I mean, they was that long, as big as your hand. And I mean, she went home a-crying. I mean, she was really a-screaming. And I said, now we'll catch it a-Monday. But you know what? She went back to school on Monday, and she never opened her mouth about that. And she never did tell another lie on us what time we went to school. Best friend we had. And then we got into it one day, going to school one day when it was pretty cold, pretty bad, had two mill ponds. We had one that was ground in, and then John Mast, that I was telling you about, he had one. So we was going by there and got into a fight. My younger brother, they was about to kill him. I wouldn't bother him as long as he was winning. Long as he won, that was okay. Then here come three or four of them, like flies. Here come one at me, and I dodged him. But he fell, and when he fell, I just took and grabbed him by his hind legs and drug him in the mill pond. Just drug him backwards, you see. And I mean, I soaked him, plumb up. But he didn't get his head in it. So he went on to school with that mud and stuff on him. And my gosh, you talk about catching a beating. I got it. They whipped me till it was pitiful. And then I went one time. We's a-giving Christmas presents away. That was the funniest thing. You know, everybody takes something to the teacher and gives him. So Daddy had killed some hogs, and we'd scraped the tails. Killed an old sow, and her tail was about 12 or 14 inches long, a great big long one. And I fixed it real nice and all, cleaned it off real good and all, wrapped it up in paper. Put this Christmas paper on it, and put the teacher's name on it. Never put mine on it, but I took it on down and put it under the Christmas tree. Didn't let nobody see it. I slipped it out of my pocket and threw it under the Christmas tree. Oh, we's around there getting our presents and all. Teacher, he was so glad. Boy, he said, they really thought of me. Here's the best one. Somebody said, what do you think it is? He said, I'll bet that's a big long stick of peppermint candy. You know, you've seen him that long. Well, he opened up that hog tail. Ha! You talk about the young ones a-beatin' and laughin' and screamin' and hollerin'. He looked at it a long time, dropped it down, and said, well, it will make some soup. It was fixed nice, you know. Stanley Hicks, born 1911, Watauga County. Starting over every year. I was at school one day, and they'd made a rule not to go out after water, out to the spring, without leave. And they saw I wasn't there, and I'd come back the next day, and so I got a ballin' out. Well, my cousin and I had a table up on the rostrum that went all across the back end of the schoolhouse, and so the next day I brought a bucket and a dipper, and I filled my bucket full of water and set it up on the table, and every little bit I'd have to drink some water. When students misbehaved back then, they whipped them with what they called a Shawnee haw. That was just a long switch with no limbs off of it or anything, just a long switch. When my brother and a neighbor boy got in a fight, the teacher, to punish them, he made them whip each other. And they whipped hard. I guess they wasn't friends for a while. We had only 3 months of school, and so we got over so far in our books, and then school was out. Then the next year, they started us in the front of the book again, and so we never got any further in the book each year than we had gone the year before. We just had a one-room schoolhouse, about 50 or 60 students, and one teacher. Ruth Sturgill, born 1893, Allegheny County. Grubbing stumps. Back in those days, if you got into meanness at school, if you didn't get a whipping, well, they had stumps to grub at recess and at lunch hour. So they'd put you out a grubbin' and stay out there with you, and wouldn't let you play any. It was either that or get a whipping, and most of us had rather get out there and grub a big old oak stump than get a whipping. We'd get a mattock and a shovel and just start digging around 'em, and then when you got 'em out, the teacher would help you. Take rails or long poles and prize 'em out. Then you'd roll 'em down in the gully, if there was one down there, and fill up the hole and grass it over. It's a lot of hard work. Takes some time, but I've helped clean up a lot of ground that way. Course, it was hard work, but we didn't mind it. Back then, you didn't mind working. You didn't mind walking 5 or 6 miles to work. Ralph Kraus, born 1922, Allegheny County. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Yesteryear. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Joe Simpson for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Triangle Yesteryear is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening.